General authorities, trustees of the university, President Bateman and your associates, faculty and staff, parents and families, and most particularly, you of the graduating class, I extend my greetings, my blessing, my love, and my commendation. Brother and Sister Audley, I'm glad you've been honored here today, or this would have become entirely Hinckley. We need more of diversity for a university graduation than to center it in one family. I'd like to say a word about the Audleys. I've known Brother Audley for a very, very long time, since he was a small boy. His father was my bishop, and I was his state president. And a better family, I think, never lived. Wonderful people, great and good and wonderful people. And Gerald and Joanne have performed a magnificent service in their association with the Tabernacle Choir. In behalf of the entire church, I offer my gratitude, the gratitude of people across the world, for the tremendous contribution which you have made. Thank you so very, very much. Now I'd like to say a word or two concerning the honor you've bestowed upon my wife. This is a very significant recognition. It is an unusual thing that you've done. Let me say to all that I had absolutely nothing to do with this. The nomination was made in my absence. It has never been discussed in any meeting in which I have been in attendance. They have completely bypassed the chairman of the Board of Trustees of Brigham Young University. I think it has come out of a spirit of love and appreciation for this dear woman, which is shared by so very many. I think that anyone who has lived with me for 63 years is deserving of any honor that might be accorded her. I really believe she's a most unusual woman. Once we stood straight and tall, now old age is leaving its mark upon us. We've grown less tall and less erect. We do not have the energy we once had. She was a beautiful girl, and as a young man, I was smitten. How I loved her when I married her. I've loved her ever since, and perhaps even more deeply as the years have passed. I see my children, and I know that she's responsible for whatever good there is in them. They phone us regularly, and if I happen to answer the phone, they say, "Hi, Dad, is Mother there?" They've been saying that since they were tiny tots. Now some of them are grandparents, and it appears that all of them soon will be. They say hello to me, but they wish to talk with their mother. To all of you young men who are here today, I could wish nothing better for you than the kind of companion I have had through all of these years. We were married in the Salt Lake Temple in the depths of the Depression. I was earning $150 a month and had $150 in savings. We've since traveled a long journey together. We've been on every continent and in scores of nations. She's been a prodigious worker, one who loves the beautiful, one who sees some purpose in every tragedy. She is smart and able, friendly and warm with others, funny with a great sense of humor, and reverent and respectful of sacred things. As Brother Packer said to me day before yesterday, "You just stick with her and she'll make you famous." And now to something of a different vein. In last Sunday's Deseret News, my eye caught a small story on an inside page. Let me read a portion of it to you. It is Dateline Chapel Hill, North Carolina. It reads in part, quote, 15-year-old Michael Carter got a new kidney Saturday, thanks not to a close relative, but to his science teacher. His doctor said, although we believe anyone donating an organ to benefit another person is an exceptional human being, the fact that a teacher would be so moved to offer her student such a gift is phenomenal. Close quote. The boy's relatives were all rejected as donors after being tested. When Jane Smith, his science teacher, was advised that he needed a kidney transplant, she said to him, I've got two. Do you want one? Tests indicated a good match, and the surgery was done just last Saturday. I submit that this magnificent and generous act on the part of his schoolteacher is an exceptional and wonderful thing. For me, that brief story exceeded any other that I read in that very voluminous Sunday newspaper. It speaks of charity, of love, of appreciation, of generosity not required but freely given. There's serious risk in donating a kidney, where before there were two, now there's only one. In the case of disease or illness affecting this vital organ, it can become a matter of life and death. I have since learned that the boy is black and the teacher is white. Kindness knows no color line. In this world where there is so much of selfishness, of egotism, of thinking only of me, what a tremendous thing it is to note that the quiet offer to undergo serious surgery in behalf of a pupil she scarcely knew. As I read that story, there came into my mind the magnificent words of the Lord. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Talk about the Good Samaritan. Here is one who qualifies for membership in that small circle which the Lord had in mind when he spoke that parable. Now permit me to leave that and read you a letter which came to my office last week. I quote, Dear President Hinckley, my husband and I needed help in 1953. We were out of money and needed milk for our six-month-old son. We were on our way home from California to Chicago. Well, my husband said, we're in Utah, where the Mormons are. He asked at a gas station where the head of the Mormon church lived. We went to this house. And a man with snow-white hair came to the door. My husband introduced us to this man and said we were not of his faith, but we needed help. This man with a beautiful welcome smile said, I don't care what faith you are. I'm David O. McKay. Come on in. We told our story. His wife fixed a bottle of milk for our baby son, held him and fed him. We talked and explained our situation to David O. McKay. He reached in his pocket and gave us $55 to get us on our way home. We didn't know he was the president of the Church of Jesus Christ, excuse me, of Latter-day Saints. She continues, I'll always remember this man with a heart of gold and as a smiling, happy man. Because of this experience, my husband and I joined the church. My husband became very ill in 1994 with cancer and died October 30th, 1994. Through the illness, he said to me, I never sent the $55 back to President McKay. I said it will be paid. Then I kept forgetting. Now here it is, President Hinckley, the $55 President McKay gave us in 1953. End of quote. I may say that she didn't add anything for interest. I always loved President McKay. I knew him. I traveled with him. And he it was who named me an assistant to the 12 Apostles and subsequently a member of the Council of the 12 Apostles. But with all of the wonderful good that I saw in this remarkable man, the greatest of his characteristics is encapsulated in this letter. Can you picture this destitute couple and their baby coming to a strange door in a strange city and having this wonderful white-haired man open the door? With no knowledge whatever of the man who is knocking, he invites him in. Sister McKay heats the milk, takes the baby, and feeds it. Then President McKay reaches into his pocket and gives the man what he has, enough to get him in those days to his home in Chicago. Small wonder that the couple subsequently joined the church. Small wonder that they remained faithful through the years. $55 was quite a sum 47 years ago. It was given without expectation of ever seeing it again. President McKay never did, but it has come back from the woman, now elderly, who was the benefactor of his great kindness. My brothers and sisters, it is these little things that make the big difference in our lives. It is these things that add a new and essential element to our manner of living. I again commend you on your achievements in your particular disciplines as you are graduated from this great institution. You have made it in engineering, chemistry, accounting, law, pre-medicine, English, or whatever your chosen field. I hope now that as you go forward with your lives, the knowledge you have gained and which will be added to hereafter will make of you a productive member of society and that the world will be better for your presence and your skills. But without an added dimension of living beyond self, of putting your degrees, as it were, to one side, and acting as charitable, kind, decent, and generous people, all of your education here may have been in vain. It is the small acts of kindness that make the big difference between civilization and the jungle. I hope, I pray, that every one of you will be eminently successful according to the measure of the world. I hope even more that perhaps because of the influence of this great school, you have may have gained some quality in your lives which will impel you to reach out in helpfulness to those who so urgently will need your help. There's so much of tragedy in this world. There's so much of sorrow and privation. There's so much of hunger and dreadful poverty. There's so much of heartache and pain. Give something of yourself without fee or recompense to those in need. And as you give, your own life will enlarge. I love good, kind, and generous people. The desire to give may be a small and somewhat unimportant thing to mention at a serious graduation exercise. And yet, I believe it is of the very essence of life. We can and must make choices between parsimony and generosity, between personal bondage and freedom, between selfishness and the Spirit of the Lord who gave all, even his very life for each of us. Speaking for the Lord, James Russell Lowell, in The Vision of Sir Launfal, says, "Who gives himself with his alms feeds three, himself, his hungry neighbor, and me." please accept my suggestion on this very important day of your lives. In all that lies ahead, do not forget to reach beyond yourself and bless the lives of others. Never forget the words of the Master, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. May God's blessings attend you, I humbly pray, my dear friends, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.